It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
People can foresee the future only when it coincides with their own wishes and beliefs. The most grossly obvious facts can be ignored when they are unwelcome. An inarguable statement from George Orwell. Question: how many in modern industrialized, militarized societies are, even at this late hour, completely ignoring flashing red flag warnings of our dying planet, coming from countless sources? Consider this next statement of timeless and inarguable wisdom from Native American John Hollowhorn of the Ogallala Lakota. He said this: someday the earth will weep. She will beg for her life. She will cry with tears of blood. You will make a choice if you will help her or let her die. And when she dies, you too will die. How can that be argued? What is the true cost of so-called modern, industrialized, militarized society? So many in our societies have so far been so willing to turn two blind eyes to what George Orwell correctly labeled, quote, grossly obvious facts. The climate engineering assault going on in our skies being at the top of the list. So many so far have been so willing to actually participate in their own near-term demise by actively, no, even aggressively, supporting the insanity by towing the line of official denial of the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us all at blinding speed. It seems for so many, the compulsion to belong to the herd is their bottom line priority. So many are so driven to avoid any chance of being separated from the herd mentality groupthink, which they are consciously or unconsciously aware would occur if they were to acknowledge horrific truths like the weather terrorism operation in our skies, like scientifically verifiable toxic vaccines, like what really happened on 9/11. How many, as the walls close in on us all, will choose the road less traveled? How many will summon the courage to fully face the gathering storm head on, with the unshakable confidence in knowing that our strength of will can never be taken from us, ever, by anyone? To yourself, be true. Denial will not save us. As the proverb states, we are the ones we have been waiting for. The masses must be awakened and mobilized to fully face reality, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late. There must be a complete course correction of our species immediately if we are to have any chance of even near-term survival. Consider this new report headline from Reuters and other sources. Scientists warn of grave impacts from loss of natural world. To be clear, as Native American John Hollowhorn stated, when nature dies, we will die. And that time on the current course is now very near. The attempt by countries and militaries around the globe to play God with Earth's climate and life support systems using highly toxic materials and lethal microwave transmissions is the greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. In the ongoing effort to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity, geoengineeringwatch.org, along with a number of top scientists and attorneys working feverishly behind the scenes for years, have just completed the first ever atmospheric testing specifically to identify climate engineering contamination. These tests were carried out with multiple sample gathering test flights utilizing a specialized, highly equipped aircraft. GeoengineeringWatch.org is in production of a groundbreaking documentary film that will, once and for all, provide indisputable proof of the climate engineering reality. Watch for the soon-to-be-released announcement of this documentary. Breaking headline reports that are more dire than ever after this broadcast announcement. Announcement is for our East and West Coast AM and FM live broadcast audience. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 196 for May 11th, 2019. news you may not want to hear but need to know. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. It is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, and other stations around the country are picking up the broadcast because we offer it free. We only want to get the word out while it can still make a difference. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. This week's announcement for Jim Fair, staunch, unyielding ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. This week's Jim Fair event, it has a fully stocked geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth with free materials to help us sound the alarm. The event will be in Santa Barbara, California, started yesterday, ends tomorrow at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Next week's event, Costa Mesa, California, very large event. If you're in that area, please attend. You can get in free if you tell the Ticketmaster why you're there to help spread awareness on the geoengineering issue. It will be May 17th through May 19th at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. Please help us to sound the alarm. In this broadcast, as I cover dire, unwanted, and extremely unpleasant frontline facts that are need-to-know facts, this must be constantly remembered and considered. The power structure-controlled mainstream media will continue to ramp up every imaginable form of mass distraction. The election theater of the absurd is exactly that, a facade of total idiocy and mass distraction, while the walls close in on us all. For those that don't have their eyes on the horizon, the wider horizon, please put them there. Please examine the wider horizon. As Earth's life support systems collapse, we will die with the planet, if we allow that to happen. On that note, let's get to facts. Something that many people don't know or understand, deforestation facts from LiveScience.com and other sources. For the record, on average, the Earth is losing 18.7 million acres of forests per year, which equates to 27 soccer fields of forests every minute. Who could think that that could continue for very long and the human race could still survive? I get frequently letters from people who want to remind me of a fact that they apparently have all seen somewhere, that all human beings could fit in the state of Texas and still have room for a house and a yard. And they've accepted that this must mean that there is plenty of room in the planet, that there's no resource depletion, overpopulation problem. And I'm sorry if that is a hard fact to accept, but it is imperative to look at reality. The problem with what the human race has done to the planet is not a matter of elbow space or everybody having their own individual yard. It's a matter of resources. It's a matter of the planet's ability to support what the human race has done to it. And the greater our numbers, the greater the destruction. This is not to advocate what those in power are already carrying out, which must also be considered a form of culling. But it is to say that we must collectively face reality, and we must stand on hard facts and not ideology. Again, as Orwell stated, the most grossly obvious facts can be ignored when they are unwelcome. All of this being said, those at the top of the power structure that have set up, facilitated, and enforced the current paradigm of total insanity should be held the most responsible for this dark hour that we now find ourselves in. Back to the imploding climate. And again, what's happening with the climate is most correctly classified as an abrupt climate collapse being further fueled by the climate engineering insanity. It was snowing in New Mexico yesterday, while we had temperatures in parts of the world, India, Pakistan, in the 112 plus range in March, and now it's May, and it's snowing in New Mexico. while record high temperatures have been on and off throughout the country. This is an engineered weather whiplash scenario. Again, primary objective, one of the primary objectives of climate engineering is to pacify specific populations, dividing and confusing them as to the true state of the climate collapse until the brutal bitter end. And it has worked very, very well, especially in people in the most populated portions of the U.S., which is some of the most heavily geoengineered regions on the planet. When they are kept under these constant engineered cool downs over and over, it's hard for them to perceive it could be record-breaking heat elsewhere, that there could be wildfires in places like Alaska, Siberia, happening even in April, places that used to be frozen until mid-June, burning to the ground in April. But Americans don't see that because all they see is, in so many cases, unfortunately, what's happening outside their own door. And this is what the climate engineers are trying to achieve. These engineered cool downs, winter weather whiplash cool downs, are a result of jet stream manipulation and the chemical ice nucleation of excessive flows of moisture. That's how you get headlines like this: May snowstorm breaks 117-year-old record in Minnesota. A headline that many who are not looking at the wider horizon or investigating it will tout as proof that there's nothing wrong with the climate, which couldn't be further from the truth. For the record, from multiple sources, this headline: the wettest 12 months in U.S. history. From that report, the 12 months ending April 2019 were the wettest year-long period in U.S. history. Also in that report, a recent study found that California's wet season is likely to get compressed into a shorter window, which, as I've stated over and over, the geoengineers control the spigot. They turn it on and off, and they are putting more water in a shorter period of time to make it look like there's normal rainfall. But that compressed rain season completely disrupts the entire equilibrium of the environment. Report states this compressed rainy season is likely leading to precipitation, quote, whiplash, states that right in the report, between wet winters and hot, dry summers. Listen to this. California is increasingly to experience, quote, hot droughts. Hot droughts. Never heard that term before. Now we have flash droughts, hot droughts, where the heat and the low humidity pulls moisture from vegetation and landscape more effectively. Geoengineering Watch has stated this for over a decade, that the desiccant particulates that thwart evaporation and disrupt the hydrological cycle also dry out the atmosphere, decreasing atmospheric relative humidity, which pulls moisture out of everything in the environment. That's what's happening. That's what's not being acknowledged. So again, the massive flows of moisture being pumped through and during last week and part of this weekend through the southern U.S., through Texas, flooding many regions, but being pumped up the eastern seaboard to continuously cool down the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48, which again, based on the long-term departure from normal high temperature maps, show the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48 is the most anomalously less warm place on the entire planet for years running. This must be acknowledged. And when these cool downs happen, for those that, again, jump up and down and say this proves that there's no warming problem, they're looking at a tiny section of the planet and ignoring the rest. Is that reasonable? Is that logical? Is that honest? The answer is no on all three counts. Let's get to more headlines. The facade of a functional global economy cannot be maintained for much longer. The collapsing climate and biosphere can't be hidden for much longer. Again, biosphere collapse equates to economic and social collapse. Increasingly unrestrained power structure desperation should also be expected. Here's a few breaking examples from the global economic Ponzi scheme. Nestle cuts 4,000 jobs. Another headline. Italy's debt set to climb as economy stalls, employment drops. Another headline. Oracle is laying off more than 900 people. Another headline. Deutsche Bank's crisis will lead to U.S. and global banking crisis. Another headline. Will the U.S. and Israel wage a, quote, summer war? Along that theme, the Washington war machine is targeting Venezuela and Iran. No secret. Another headline. Canadian Admiral: kids won't join the Navy if ships don't have Wi-Fi. A lot to read into that headline. That's the state of society we live in now. Not that they should want to join a mercenary force of the U.S. or Canadian militaries to begin with, but the fact that they have to have cell phones and games, perhaps, on their screens is a sad testimony to the loss of reality with our youth. Another headline: U.S. will need forces in Afghanistan until no insurgency left, which basically means forever. There are resources in Afghanistan. They have abundant mineral deposits. Thus, the point and purpose of the U.S. military occupation. It is certainly not about freedom and democracy. Another headline. Famine on rise in Near East and North Africa. Only the beginning. Only the beginning. Destructive pest spreads in China, threatens corn crops, more collapse of the food chain. Another headline. Midwest farmers continue to struggle as bankers tighten credit standards, report says. The assault against the ability of society to produce food. That's occurring all over the globe. Another headline, systemic breakdown under collapse and unsustainability categories. The great unraveling begins. Distraction, lies, infighting, and betrayal. About that headline, which covers many arenas, consider this. When there is no longer enough to go around, the law of the jungle will prevail. We would do well to remember and consider this as well. The criminally insane are still running the asylum. More headlines in a moment, but here's a question. Is biological warfare being used to impact food supply chains? Here's a new headline report to consider on that front from Bloomberg and many other sources. Quote, pig Ebola virus sends shockwaves through global food chain. From that report, what started with a few dozen pigs in northeastern China is sending a shockwave through the global food chain. Culling and a blockade to stop the transportation of livestock was implemented. It was too late. By then, the disease had literally gone viral, dispersed across the country. Food chain breaking down. This is only one small example. Report states 9 months later, the contagion has spread nationwide, crossed borders to Mongolia, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and bolstered meat markets globally. There should be no surprise on that point, as the global food supply dwindles, remaining food stocks will become far more expensive. Final statements from the report. Like Ebola, the strain of African swine fever spreading in Asia is undeniably nasty, killing virtually every pig it infects by hemorrhagic illness reminiscent of Ebola in humans. It is not known to sicken people, however, not yet. Now, back to the assault, not just on the food chain, but the continued assault on populations, the continued disinformation about very polarizing issues like the vaccine assault. I'm not done with that subject. I won't be done until vaccines are exposed, until the full truth is exposed, and there is a massive effort to censor that. How is that not a very immediate threat when the population is being forced vaccinated with concoctions that are absolutely, indisputably, scientifically, verifiably harmless? And we are not told about facts like this from multiple sources. $101 million awarded to MMR vaccine injured child. That's the vaccine that's being so pushed by the power structure. From that report, the child's name in this report is listed as OR. OR was a one-year-old healthy baby girl who was already walking and climbing. She received vaccinations for measles, mumps, and rubella. That evening, the mother noticed baby OR was irritable and feverish. After a call to the pediatrician, the doctor advised her mother to give her Tylenol and Benadryl. The fever continued for several days, and on the evening before her scheduled pediatrician visit, OR began having severe seizures. She was rushed to the emergency room. Baby OR went into cardiac and respiratory arrest. Doctors placed her on a ventilator. The seizures and cardiac arrest left OR with severe brain injuries and kidney failure. After months of treatment at the hospital, baby OR finally went home, but her disabilities require specialized medical care and supervision around the clock for the rest of her life. Question, does the $101 million settlement fix this tragedy? How many children have to be harmed before the lie of safe vaccinations is shattered? We have an autism rate in direct correlation with the increase in vaccinations that has increased 40,000% in the last 40 plus years. 40,000%. Now down to 1 in 25 boys from 1 in 10,000. What does it take? And how long will society censor itself because of their desire to not break from the herd think mentality? And I realize there are many parents that feel pressured, again, into conforming with this because they have no way to care for their children while they work. But something else has to be done. At what point do we, collectively, as a society, draw a line in the sand and say no more? No more, that we will not willfully harm our children to keep the status quo and to conform with the dictates of a criminally insane power structure. Let's remember this definition for Stockholm Syndrome, the defending of one's own oppressors. Stockholm Syndrome definition. It's a condition which causes hostages, which we all are, to develop a psychological alliance with their captors as a survival strategy during captivity. How well that fits our current scenario. On the vaccine dangers front, yet another new report from multiple sources. This headline, quote, MMR vaccine licensing called into question following the latest Freedom of Information Act request releases. Exposure of FDA cover-up in another significant legal win for vaccine risk awareness groups. A new Freedom of Information Act disclosure from the Federal Food and Drug Administration has revealed that the MMR vaccine was licensed based on clinical trials, which in total had less than 1,000 participants and far more adverse reactions than previously acknowledged. There were only 8 clinical trials that in total had less than 1,000 individuals, out of which only 342 children actually received the MMR vaccine. More than half of all participants in each of the 8 trials developed who received the vaccine developed gastrointestinal symptoms and upper respiratory infections. All adverse events were generically described as, quote, other viruses in the trials and thus not considered in the safety profile of the vaccine licensing and approval. How can this be happening? How can so many in the so-called medical field go along with this? And how can so few parents be willing to investigate what is being done to our children? These so-called vaccine safety studies are totally fraudulent, completely fraudulent, and being completely covered up by a criminally corrupt power structure. When will we draw the line in the sand? When will the bottom line of our purpose, of our existence, become an unyielding willingness to peacefully but unyieldingly do the right thing, no matter what the consequences? Again, peacefully but unyieldingly to say no, no more. How else is the power structure assaulting the web of life and thus the human race? How is the power structure's effort to completely contaminate water sources going? From the LA Times and other sources, not that I like any of these mainstream sources, but they're only reporting certain things because they can't hide it any longer. From that source, the president's fracking plan targets over 1 million acres in California. From that report, the current administration detailed its plan to open more than 1 million acres of public and private land in California to fracking, raising environmental concerns at a time when opposition to oil and gas drilling in the state is intensifying. The action would end a 5-year moratorium on leasing federal land in California to oil and gas developers. That pause came after a federal judge ordered the Obama administration, which, again, also a power structure puppet, absolutely simply one of the criminals in the play, just like the current administration, just like former administrations, to halt similar leasing efforts until it could better evaluate the environmental risk of hydraulic fracking. How hard is that to environmentally analyze? If you're pumping 500 plus toxic chemicals into groundwater aquifers, what question could there be about whether or not there's a risk there? You're completely contaminating forever groundwater sources. Moving on, from multiple sources, this new headline also falls into the loot, plunder, and pillage till there is nothing left category. Here's the headline, quote, wildly underestimated oil sands emissions are the latest blow to Alberta's dubious climate claims. From that report, as disaster looms, Canada's petrol province lets the oil industry call the shots. From that report, in a bizarre arrangement, the Alberta oil patch pays for its own oversight through the Alberta Energy Regulatory Commission, a regulatory body that's 100% funded by the fossil fuel sector. What could go wrong? They state, trust us. And that has long been the message from the oil sector to the Alberta public, which seems to have little choice in the matter. This is exactly like the vaccine scenario, with completely fraudulent, quote, safety testing done by the pharmaceutical industrial industry themselves with no oversight. Question, what will it take and how bad will it have to get before a larger percentage of the population summons the courage to face the fact that the foxes are running the hen house in every imaginable arena and we will all very, very soon pay the price on the current course? From the Washington Post and other sources, this headline, the day a million species are announced to be on the brink of extinction, the U.S. says melting ice creates, quote, a new opportunity for trade. Yes, let's all fill our pockets with loot on the deck of the sinking pirate ship as it goes to the ground in the bottom of the sea, and we go with it, all of us. From the National Snow and Ice Data Center, this new report, which, as bad as it sounds, actually falls far short of the true severity of what's unfolding at the far north. Here's the headline quote, rapid ice loss leads to record low ice extent. Please follow me through with the dots I'm about to connect. What is happening at the top of the world is grave beyond comprehension. There is enough methane, formerly frozen methane deposits, there to turn this planet into Venus 100 times over. That methane is already releasing, and climate engineering operations in the attempt to hide that from the populations are further fueling that fire. From Reuters.com and other sources, more headline reports of the planetary loot, plunder, and pillage policies that have become the norm for the dying and desperate U.S. empire and other desperate empires around the globe. Here's the headline, quote, U.S. sinks Arctic Accord due to climate change differences. Report states this, it was the first time a declaration had been canceled since the Arctic Council was formed in 1996. Why? Because the U.S. and its military, which is larger than the next 10 militaries combined, is completely committed to the climate engineering insanity as a way to mask the problem and keep business as usual until there is absolutely nothing left. More headlines. From EcoWatch.com and other sources, this related headline. U.S. dismisses climate change at Arctic Council Summit. Pompeo says melting sea ice brings, again, new opportunities for trade. The U.S. is thwarting the Arctic Climate Accord. And this comes as the Arctic just experienced its 5 warmest years on record. And it's warming at twice the pace of the rest of the world. And to be clear, let's ask and answer this question. Is the data being falsified, as many believe and have been led to believe, is being falsified to the downside? But the exact opposite is the case. In every place that geoengineeringwatch.org monitors official high temperatures, they are being radically underreported, not overreported. What's that mean? It means it's far, far warmer already than we are being told. We are in completely uncharted territory, likely past a 3.5 degree C temperature rise since the start of industrialized civilization. That is warmer than at any point in time which human beings have occupied the planet. That doesn't mean everybody dies overnight, but it means the rate of change is so rapid, nothing can adapt. And we are seeing that across the board. The entire biosphere is dying. Climate engineering, again, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, and contaminated virtually everything on the planet. Climate engineering, the great imperative to expose and halt. More headlines from the UK Express, another red flag quote. Global heat wave warning, soaring temperatures and extremely hot weather to rise in frequency. They are warning us, trying to prepare the population as if somehow we should just expect this and not really examine what's going on. From that report, scorching weather and back-to-back heat waves threaten to overwhelm emergency services and increase the likelihood of heat-related death, climate experts warn. Let's stop there for a moment. In between heat waves, completely engineered chemical ice-nucleated cool-down scenarios will continue to become more aggressive. Thus, the massive hailstorms, the weather whiplash temperature swings. Welcome to the climate-engineered weather whiplash world that we now live in. Swinging increasingly out of control, increasingly desperate climate engineering, aka weather warfare, assaults on populations all over the world. Another headline. This new report from AccuWeather.com. Seattle, hotter than Death Valley. The AccuWeather script-reading power structure puppets of mass deception, just like the Weather Channel, they went on to state this, quote, the AccuWeather long-range meteorologists are anticipating hot, dry weather to be the theme across the Northwest and somewhat cooler and wetter conditions in the Southwest this summer. These are not forecasts. This is the scheduled weather being passed down to these meteorologists from those at the top, Raytheon doing all the weather modeling for National Weather Service and NOAA, two agencies that have an illegal federal gag order on them so as not to disclose the climate engineering insanity. And we know from our FOIAs, from our legal team, our FOIAs that we have received from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration by suing the U.S. Department of Commerce and forcing them to release this to us, that meteorologists are in fact reading scripts handed down from the top so that the scheduled weather is announced to the public, and the public is thus pacified, thinking that, oh, this was predicted, so I shouldn't worry about it. This Orwellian Truman show that we live in. Total insanity. We are in a freight train of insanity, and to state that collapse is coming on the current course is not something that is hard to do if one looks at the evidence. That's all geoengineeringwatch.org has ever asked. We've never asked you to believe anything we've posted or published. We've asked you to examine the evidence. If you see a car going 100 miles an hour that's 10 feet from impact into a concrete wall, you can safely say no application of the brakes is going to stop that impact. Impact is coming, and it's going to be horrific. And that is the train we are on right now. We're through the guardrail, plummeting to the bottom of the canyon. These AccuWeather script readers went on to say this: the pattern will provide, listen carefully, natural air conditioning in the south. That's exactly what they say. This is climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation of massive amounts of moisture being pumped into certain regions and then chemically nucleated. That is their, quote, natural air conditioning. They go on to say, while people who do not have air conditioning farther north, they mean electrical air conditioning, will wish they had it. The pattern is likely to be a taste of what is to come. How do they know? They know because they're reading scripts. Absolutely, positively reading scripts. For the record, some in academia, while refusing to admit to the climate engineering onslaught, are still covertly pushing the climate engineering insanity by continuing to claim that the toxic aerosols in our skies are the only thing saving us from instant incineration. If all available frontline data is considered, the conclusion that the toxic aerosol-saturated atmosphere is, quote, saving us, should be seen for what it is, a blatant, criminally liable lie of total deception. The totality of climate engineering weather warfare assault is systematically slaughtering the entire web of life and the planet's life support systems. On that note, from multiple sources, ash tree dieback, one of the worst tree disease epidemics, could kill nearly 100% of the UK's ash trees. From that report, there is absolutely no admission of the core underlying causal factor of what's actually killing the trees. The massive tree die-off is blamed on everything but the core cause. Toxic rain laden with climate engineering contaminants, starting with aluminum, which peer-reviewed studies prove weakens and kills root systems and thus trees by making them susceptible to disease and fungus infections. And for the record, the extraordinary quantities of aluminum coming down through the breathable air column from climate engineering fallout is also killing Britons. The core causal factor for Alzheimer's and dementia is aluminum. The number one cause of death in Britain is Alzheimer's and dementia. Connect the dots. No acknowledgement from any public source. From multiple sources, this new headline report that shines yet more light on the fact that the air we breathe is slowly killing us. Researchers now have even more proof that air pollution can cause dementia. There's no can, there's no may, there's no might. Please understand that. From this report, USC's Air Pollution and Brain Disease Research Network, which has completed many of these new studies, now believes it's conclusive. Air pollution causes dementia. Again, connect that with the facts I've already given in this broadcast. The amount of aluminum coming down through our breathable air column is immense. We have lab tests from all over the globe to prove that. Primary element in numerous climate engineering patents is aluminum. Stay with me on this. Those exposed to higher levels of air pollution, particularly nitrogen dioxide and fine particulate matter, i.e. aluminum, which is not mentioned, released by fossil fuel combustion, let's blame everything on that industry, thus to distract from the climate engineering assault, were, quote, significantly more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease, the most common kind of dementia. Again, of course, this mainstream report never utters a word about the massive amounts of aluminum raining down through our breathable air column due to climate engineering fallout. Before moving on to the next very related headline, remember and consider that peer-reviewed studies prove that without the presence of aluminum in this equation, there would be no Alzheimer's in the normal human lifespan of 100 years. Now, consider this. The following statement was just made by the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith from Harvard. It was a response to a message sent to Dr. Keith by one of my contacts, Jonathan O'Quinn, whom I wish to thank for professionally confronting Dr. Keith. Keith just stated this on the record. He said, quote, "It would make no sense to spray aluminum. I am not involved in any program, and I doubt there is one." He went on to say this, "I am far too proud to take money to lie. If there was any such thing happening, I would risk my life to expose it." Words from Dr. David Keith. Now, with that in mind, the total denial of aluminum being anywhere in the equation or any way involved in him, his proposals, or his part in the climate engineering insanity. Now listen carefully to what the world's most recognized geoengineer again, Dr. David Keith, who said what I just quoted, has to say in his own words. And as I play this audio clip of Dr. Keith, I was in attendance at the International Geoengineering Conference when Dr. Keith stated this. And you can see him state this if you search Dane Wigington, David Keith. That video has been viewed many times, 5 minutes long, well worth the view. But listen to what Dr. Keith had to say in his own words.
Is from a nanofabrication study, which shows you can make very high quality and do this in just a jet in a very simple way, make high quality aluminum particles just by spraying aluminum vapor out, which oxidizes. So it's certainly in principle possible to do that. There's a big literature that's already looked at that. And you could do that by either building new versions of these aircraft or even re-engineering existing aircraft. So there's some ideas of that. So you go to an engineering firm and you want this done. They don't say this is hard or unusual. They say, okay, yes, we can do it. Aerosol geoengineering looks like it is so cheap that the cost is basically not going to be an issue. That means that implementation decisions will be risk-to-risk decisions. The risk of doing it against the risk of not doing it.
To clarify for the record, here is what Dr. Keith is stating, that it would be, quote, cheap and easy to spray aluminum nanoparticulates from jet aircraft all over the planet, and the only real consideration we have is, quote, the risk of doing it versus the risk of not doing it. With that in mind, consider this final statement from Dr. Keith.
It's an empirical question how people will actually react to knowledge about this. Another reaction is to say, if these crazy scientists are so concerned about putting CO2 in the atmosphere, they want to think about these things, then that might actually mean we should be more serious about the risk of CO2 in the atmosphere. And by the way, it's not really a moral hazard. It's more like free riding on our grandkids.
So, for the record, Dr. David Keith, who denies that there's aluminum anywhere in this equation of climate engineering, himself has pushed the objective of the dumping of 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually and ends up stating, quote, it's not really a moral hazard. It's like free riding on our grandkids. These are the, quote, scientists that our population believes is has somehow had their best interest in mind. We need to wake up fast or we will have nothing left to salvage. Locate Dr. Keith's contact online, easy to find. Let him know what you think about his position in this equation, but do it peacefully and professionally. That is the way we gain ground in this battle, peacefully and professionally. We must also remember that radio frequency transmissions are not just being used for communications. They are also a massive part of the climate engineering operations. The threat from these transmissions is going exponential with the 5G rollout. A few headlines to consider on that note. 5G radiation dangers. Headline, 11 reasons to be concerned. Another headline, the dangers of 5G to children's health. Another headline, 5G dangers fifth generation wireless technology. Another headline, frightening frequencies, the dangers of 5G. Another headline, scary health dangers of 5G wireless technology. One final headline example, 5G, the most dangerous technological development. These are only a few recent headline samples. Those that care about their health, the health of their children, and the health of the environment on which all of our lives depend will take the time to do an honest and objective investigation of this issue and other issues outlined in this broadcast. A few more. From the UK Guardian and numerous other sources, this plugs into the attempt to mask what's happening in the environment from the public. This is an additional red flag warning of the 5G threat. 5G signal could jam satellites that help with weather forecasting. The more blind local forecasters are to what's happening in the skies with climate engineering, the better it is for the power structure. Keep that in mind. The report states this. New mobile system to be launched this year will put lives at risk. They're talking about 5G. The introduction of 5G mobile phone networks could seriously affect weather forecasters' ability to predict major storms. Again, those at the top do not want local forecasters to predict major storms or any type of weather. They want them to read scripts that are being passed down through the system from the top, ultimately Raytheon. That's the bottom line. This report states this is a stark warning of meteorologists around the world who say next generation wireless systems now being rolled out across the globe are likely to disrupt the delicate satellite instruments they use to monitor changes in the atmosphere. Again, monitoring the power structure does not want to take place. A few other 5G headlines. 5G harmful to birds, insects, and plants. 5G rollout poses credible threat to wildlife. It goes on and on and on. This is absolute insanity. We are on the road to a planet that doesn't support life. Countless factors in this equation. Radio frequency bombardment, toxic chemical-laden food, toxic fluoridated water, verifiably toxic vaccinations, and, of course, the toxic skies over our heads every day. Our days are numbered if we remain on the current course. Mathematical fact. History and current reality makes clear that those in power routinely use civilian populations as lab rats. How is the power structure's main mercenary force, known as the U.S. military, how are they treated? From healthimpactnews.com and other sources, this extremely alarming, though not surprising, new report. Military-backed anti-malaria drug causes neurological and psychiatric side effects leading to suicides and homicides in the military. From that report, over the past two decades, many have suffered varying degrees of psychotic experiences, some unbearably horrific, from brain-damaging neurotoxic drugs that have been commonly used for, quote, protecting against mosquito-borne malaria infections. Military has long been used for guinea pigs. The side effects may linger long after one stops taking the drugs because the brain and central nervous system damage has been done. The neurotoxic drugs' psychological damage creates psychiatric traumas. This is only one example of countless examples. Is it really unknown to our population that our military brothers and sisters are routinely used as guinea pigs on countless fronts? I've cited many times, I'll cite again, how many people have seen the videos of our military members being told to put on a set of goggles, go out there and watch that nuclear bomb go off. Let's see what happens. Do we think those in power didn't know that all of those soldiers would die a near-term death from that exposure? Those in power don't care. And when will that become evident and acknowledged to the population? And they care no more about the general population. Make no mistake about that. We are all not only expendable to those in power, but in regard to the general population, we are an increasing liability to those in power. Back to the imploding environment on which everything else depends. From ABC in Australia, this disturbing headline, the animal's plight, which soon enough will be the plight of the human race. Wildlife shelters inundated as drought pushes native animals into urban areas in search of food and water. Kangaroos, wombats, and koalas were being found near roads and backyards in search of something to eat. That will be all of us soon on the current course. As well as being hit by cars, native animals were being attacked by dogs and getting caught in fences. How horrific is this? Do these animals deserve what's being done to them? Absolutely not. The climate engineers control the spigot. They decide where it will rain, how much it will rain, and how toxic that rain will be. On that note, let's look at this headline, the opposite side of the spectrum. From Watchers.news and other sources, above normal rainfall results in more heavy flooding, planting delays across the U.S., hampering the production of food. Another headline from Bloomberg. This harbinger headline, mass starvation and mass die-off. It's not a matter of if, but when, and it's already unfolding. Here's the headline, quote, 10 million North Koreans face food shortages after bleak harvest. Is it really surprising that Venezuela, Korea, Iran, really in the front of these headline cataclysm. It's happening around the globe. In fact, India, much of it there too, because India wanted to continue to purchase fossil fuel from Iran. Also, horrific cataclysms there. And it's happening to our own population as well. But connect the dots. This is weather warfare, and that is not to state that without climate engineering there wouldn't be weather cataclysm. Of course there would. We've been horrible stewards of the planet. 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every single day. That has a horrific effect. Now we have methane, nitrous oxide entered in the atmosphere. We've cut down the forest. We've poisoned the oceans. We're paving the planet. All of this horrifically affects Earth's energy balance. But the intentional intervention with Earth's life support systems, the most horrific and destructive human activity of all, greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. Again, mass starvation about to happen in Korea. Another headline on that front from allafrica.com and other sources. This is a parallel report. UN warns of mass starvation in drought-stricken areas of Africa, calls for help. Some may still ask, what does all this have to do with climate engineering? It has everything to do with climate engineering. The climate engineers control the spigot. They control the flow of water. They control the precipitation. They have been shutting off precipitation to countries for decades, forcing those countries to their knees and forcing them to allow U.S. occupation in their countries. The most coveted, prized weapon of the power structure, playing God with the weather. And as Johnson said, and I've repeated many times, he said so many years ago, over 50 years ago, he who controls the weather controls the world. That's why so many countries have allowed U.S. occupation in their countries, because they have had no choice. From multiple sources, bomb cyclone to bring damaging winds, downpours from UK to France. These are the engineered weather whiplash cool downs. A great deal of moisture is needed to chemically ice nucleate and to cool down some of these first world, industrialized, militarized nations to continue to confuse and divide their populations on the true state of the climate. From climatecouncil.org.au, that's in Australia, climate cuts, cover-ups, and censorships. Governments that are part of the power structures around the globe are doing everything they can to make it ever more difficult for their academicians and agencies to understand what is going on in our skies. They're becoming more and more desperate to mask the climate engineering insanity, because if we could expose it, there would be a shockwave around the globe that would unite populations all over the globe in a common cause. They would understand what's been done to them and done to the environment on which all of our lives depend without our knowledge or our consent. Damage that is now irreparable. In our societies, in official agencies, in so-called mainstream media, and I'm sorry to say in the halls of academia, the percentage of willfully dishonest individuals, of tyrants and outright liars, is staggeringly high and growing rapidly, while the environment implodes on all sides. From the Seattle Times and other sources, this saddening new headline report: gray whales starving to death in the Pacific Ocean, and scientists want to know why. They don't know why because they're paid not to know why. And as I just outlined, the dishonesty and tyranny within the halls of academia is epidemic. They're dying because the oceans are dying. How can the whales not die if the oceans are dying? The food chain is collapsing. The whales have nothing to eat. That's the bottom line. Fisheries are collapsing all over the globe, and yet so many scientists have no idea what's happening. And let's connect climate engineering into the equation again. The bottom line of the food chain in the ocean is plankton. Plankton have to feed in the upper layers of the water column because they photosynthesize. Geoengineering is destroying the ozone layer. That's releasing deadly UV radiation into the oceans, which kills the plankton. Many factors are killing plankton. I'm not denying that. From Fukushima to the nuclear waste dumped in from other sources to unimaginable amounts of toxic pollution from countless directions. But climate engineering, still core issue in this equation. An even more recent report on whales from KOMO News stated this: we are headed for the deaths that would be in the hundreds, if not the thousands, referring to the whales. I can't express how this breaks my heart, as I've had the immense honor and privilege of being only a few feet away from one of these colossal creatures that was as curious of me as I was of it while diving in remote region of Baja California. And the fact that these miraculous creatures are dying in mass now because human activity has killed the oceans, and yet so many walking around with their iPhones, watching football games and drinking beer as if nothing is going on. This trend must change. It must change. And to those who are already awake and aware and doing their best to sound the alarm, I so salute you. and I will do everything I can to assist you in your efforts from my position. But we must continue our efforts. We must not yield. As the biosphere implodes, the power structure's desperation will go exponential on that front. Senate fails to override President's veto on Yemen. That means the slaughter in Yemen will continue. Another headline, the United States is undermining democracy in Venezuela. No surprise, the empire wants the oil resources in that country. Another headline, sudden U.S. threat against Iran adds to Middle East volatility. Empire covets the resources in that country. Another headline, Bolton keeps trying to provoke a war. The last desperate gasp of dying empires and fascist governments is to invoke global conflict. On that note, this headline from multiple sources, why catastrophic climate change is probably inevitable now. From that report, how capitalism torched the planet by imploding into fascism. That's how all of this connects. The imploding environment is forcing the hand of criminally insane military-industrial complex, medical-industrial complex governments. This is where we are heading. On that note, this headline, I encourage anyone with the courage to examine. And many will reject this next headline, but the denial of horribly unpleasant and unwanted realities does not alter those realities. This from globalresearch.ca. Quote, the USA has killed more than 20 million people in 37 victim nations since World War II. Those that can summon the courage to fully face reality will investigate this factually indisputable report. Question, what kind of human beings are at the very top of the power structure pyramid? Consider this quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. He said this, all questions of politics, the ordering of society, of education, have been falsified down to their foundations because the most injurious men have been taken for, quote, great men. They are the refuse of mankind, of sickness and revengeful instincts. They are nothing but pernicious, fundamentally incurable monsters who take revenge on all life. Consider that. From informationclearinghouse.info and other sources, this headline along the same theme, the making of a monster. We are all lab rats in the government's secret experiments by John Whitehead. The U.S. government, in its pursuit of so-called monsters, has itself become a monster. This is not a new development, nor is it a revelation. This is a government that has, in recent decades, unleashed untold horrors upon the world, including its own citizenry, in the name of, quote, global conquest. The acquisition of greater wealth, scientific experimentation, and technological advances, all packaged in the guise of the greater good. Consider this. There is no greater good when the government is involved. There is only greater greed for money and power. Unfortunately, the public has become so easily distracted by the political spectacle coming out of Washington, D.C., that they are altogether oblivious to the grisly experiments, the barbaric behavior, and the inhumane conditions that have become synonymous with the U.S. government. I would highly recommend investigating and reading this entire essay report by John Whitehead that shines a desperately needed light on the true nature of our government and what it has become. And for the record, this does not exempt governments around the globe that are not far behind. It's in direct proportion to the size and strength of the government, and we are at the top of that pile. About patriotism, this thought from Mark Twain. In the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We are all at a crossroad of unimaginable proportion. In regard to the formerly thriving planet, we have known the point of no return was crossed perhaps 2 decades ago. The question that remains is this. Can our collective efforts alter the current course enough to salvage some part of Earth's remaining life support systems? Question, how can we know what may yet be possible unless or until we apply the whole of our collective energies toward the most critical effort of saving what is yet left of the web of life and Earth's waning life support systems? Exposing and halting the greatest single assault against those systems should be, must be, our greatest priority. Exposing and halting the climate engineering weather warfare assault is the great imperative of our time. No one, no power can prevent us from applying our will toward this great imperative. If we stand together without yielding to the sea of insanity that surrounds us, we may yet accomplish profound good, even at this late hour. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.